Let us now look at Jesus and the data of the Gospels in relation to how he actually responded in relation to the law. There are many things that could be said about it. I think the first that I'd like to say is that he clearly refused to allow the written word or the so-called authoritative interpretation of it by the religious authorities to deflect him from doing God's will. As he discerned it in his inspired revelation of his Father, in his intimate prayer, but not, I'm not talking about Jesus isolated like that, but just in the whole context of his world. One text, Mark 7, 6 to 9, where he comes out very strongly and says, "It was of you hypocrites that Isaiah so rightly prophesied in his passage of Scripture, 'This people honours me with lip service only, for their hearts are far from me. The worship they offer me is worthless. The doctrines they teach are only human regulations. You put aside the commandment of God to cling to your human traditions.'" The commandment of God is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And that's the way, that's the Torah. So what do you do to a leper? You love him. That's the key. And however you're meant to love him, you love the leper as best you may and as wisely as you can. If a human regulation in a particular circumstance stops that, and I don't mean just your private interpretation of love and all that, I know there's a lot of complexities in here, a lot of criteria needed, but I'm just saying Jesus didn't allow the laws, obviously, to stop him loving when he discerned that that was possible. Another thing Jesus did in relation to this is he insisted on the meaning of the law, not the letter. Twice, Matthew 9:13 and 12:7, he quotes from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, when he says to the Pharisees, look, when they accuse, for example, his disciples and himself, when they're walking on the Sabbath picking the corn, and when they're not fasting, and he says, look, go and learn the meaning of the words. What I want, says God, is mercy, not sacrifice. Go and get in touch with love. Go and get in touch with the whole revelation. Go and get in touch with the Redeemer God, who is about breaking yokes, healing withered hands, making paralyzed people run, walk, getting a Mary of Magdala back into the community, not locking her out and making it impossible to get in again because of your insistence on the fence. Thirdly, he put the law in its right place, moved it, shifted it. People who were living under the law, as though man was made for the law, as though married people were under marriage law, as though they were made for the law and had to fit it, as though the ministries of the church and the community have to just, whatever they have to do, they have to fit within the law which is above them. Instead of that, Jesus said, look, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Law, marriage law, is made for married people to enable them to love better, more truthfully, more faithfully, etc. Laws affecting the ministry of a priest are there to help the priest and the priesthood and the ministry in the church. And if they're stopping ministry, if they're preventing effective leadership, then don't let ministry, effective leadership, sacrificial priesthood, pastoral relationships to go down the drain while you uphold the law. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Whatever the Sabbath laws were about, they were to help a man with a withered hand live. fourthly, something about the manner of Jesus in the debate in Matthew that goes on in chapter 11 between Jesus and the Pharisees. We saw a little bit of it already, and this is just before the scene I read to you earlier where he calls that withered man with the withered hand out into the middle of the assembly and heals him. Just before that, right before it, Jesus, almost, I'd say, yes, exhausted perhaps, says to the ordinary people, the ordinary married people, the ordinary broken people, the ordinary simple sinners, whatever, he says to them, look, come to me. Don't go and ask the Pharisee. Don't go and ask these people. They're too locked. They're too yoked by the law. You go on to say, come to me, you who labor and are overburdened, and I'll give you rest. Shoulder my yoke and learn from me. Shoulder it, the yoke of the law of Christ. Shoulder it and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 5thly, in relation to the Torah, Jesus, well, we've said it already, but he revealed the face of God. He revealed the full light of who God is, because the whole veil fell away when people looked at the face of Jesus and looked at his smile and heard his words and saw his manner. They came to see what God truly is in the full light of revelation. John expresses it beautifully in the prologue 1, verse 17 to 18. Yeah, he agrees. The Torah, the law, translated, the law was given through Moses, and that was a beautiful gift. But look what Jesus gave. Grace and truth. The Hesed and the Emet of God, the covenant love and the fidelity of God, which is what the law was all about, God himself as the lover, they've come through Jesus Christ. And he goes back and admits, no man has ever seen God. That's what God said to Moses on the mountain. You can't see me. You only see the back of me. Put my hand over your face. No man has ever seen God, but the only begotten Son, who is the intimate of the Father, nearest the Father's heart, has made him known. So there's the fulfillment of the Torah. The Torah, the way, has come to the end of the road and shown God. Some examples to bring to your mind there. Obviously, Jesus, just like Moses, will have to find words to express what he's seen. And he's going to find Aramaic words, limited words. He hasn't got words that have infinite meanings, if ever there could be such a thing. He's going to have to find words that fit Palestine and fit Galilee in the first century. Because he's not talking to me and he's not talking to you. We weren't there. He's talking to real people. So he's going to have to find words that have limits, and you look up a dictionary. What else can he do? Well, what else he can do is do things that don't need words, like die on a cross, like love. His whole being is going to present things that are bigger, bigger, bigger than words. But when you find Jesus' words expressing, they're very beautiful. They're most unlegalistic. There's no hard, chiseled words with Jesus. The law of Christ that Paul talks about, and he'll have to do it too. He'd have to find words, because he's got to find, how do you do this in an assembly in Corinth and in a Thessalonian church? And so he's going to have to try and find fences too, because we need them. We all need them. But they're not barbed wire, and they're not fixed into the ground forever, and they don't take the centre of the page, and they're not the perspective, and they're not the way. They're guidance to help us into the values that underlie them. And take beautiful material, if you look at it again in the Beatitude, in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. Jesus says, it was said to you of old, thou shalt not murder. So he takes the command against murder, and that was a good law, because if you start murdering people, well, what kind of respect for life do you have there? It's talking about something very important. But what's Jesus? I say to you, and he talks about unconditional love. Now, you can't build a fence around unconditional love. It gives a spirit, an energy, a drive, a vision of possibilities, and it goes on and on and on, and you just can't make a law about unconditional love. You can make a law about murder, and that still stands. But he gets the fence and really shifts it and puts demands on us much bigger than Moses ever put, and shows the way is the way of unconditional love. Wow. There's a law against adultery. With wisdom, everyone would agree of the beautiful sense of that. Jesus, however, goes on and talks about total fidelity. It's the way you look at a woman, look at a man that matters. It's the respect you have, the sacredness of the person he goes on to talk about. And the two being one flesh in the whole union of husband and wife, and on it goes into a whole sacrament of fidelity, hesed and emet. A new scene, a new... Now those values that Jesus had are in the law in a way, but anyone looking at both can see how Jesus transcends the law. There's a law about breaking oaths. And you're not supposed to break your oath when you've taken it to God. And Jesus says, well, what are you taking oaths for anyhow? Every word you speak should be simple, truthful. If you're saying yes, say yes. If you're saying no, say no. Be straightforward. Say your piece. Communicate truthfully with people. Don't only communicate the truth when you've taken an oath about it, because speech should be truthful. There's a law against unbalanced revenge, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Don't go beyond in revenge and so on. And Jesus goes on, I won't read it, I haven't time, Matthew 5, 38-48, about loving your enemies. Love your enemies. Now what a transcendent thing that is, and what a surprisingly beautiful thing it is, and what a whole new way it is. You don't just stop revenge going beyond certain limits. You actually, a whole new spirit now is instilled, that the way forward is to actually don't retaliate, turn the other cheek. Don't react to people the way they react to you. Don't measure it all out. Conquer evil with good. Bring to bear in the situation, as Jesus himself will do on a cross before Pilate, bring to bear the love. He concludes the whole thing by saying, look, I want you to be perfect the way your heavenly Father is. Shine on people with your love, even if it brings you to a cross. That's the only way. That's the new Torah.